Lightning Lane and Genie Plus launches at Disney World. Magic Key Reservation Nightmares. And what are the worst Disney and Universal rides to get stuck on? We have all this and even more nonsense right here on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks
podcast.
More energy. Again, please.
Okay. Podcast!
How about, okay, thank you for your offer. Jeanette, would you like to try?
Podcast!
Better. Very good. Thank you.
We present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic, the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond. Welcome, foolish Diz nerds. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Disney bounder, theme park fashionista, and magic key holder, wink, wink, from the Churro Fund. It's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, how's that key working out for you, girl?
We'll talk about it.
We'll get there. Hey, and friends, we're also joined by some special guests today. Really excited. It's Funko photographer, Diznerd, and the star of YouTube's Teacup for One. It's Matthew Yipchuk. Matt is holding up. How many Funkos you got in your hands right now? You were double fisting your Funkos.
Two, three. I got four.
Whoa.
I got another one in a box. It's Dracula.
Dracula. Blah. Very nice. Wow. He's the king of Funkos. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Yeah, my pleasure. Look, I have stickers now.
That's a cool sticker. That's amazing.
Right?
I love it. Yeah. I have stickers too that I bought and I haven't done anything with them and they're sitting wrapped up in a package. That's really helpful. Oh, hey.
Yeah, so are mine.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we have another special guest here today. It's our super friend. It's the best Disney fan in the great state of Maryland. Friend of Tron and Diznerd Supreme. It's Tinker J. Jeanette, how are you?
Hey, quite esteemed in all of Maryland, eh?
Right? I wrote something nice. Yeah, good stuff, right?
All
right.
Beautiful.
Come on, Jeanette. We love you. Jeanette, you know we love you, girl. You know that, right? You know you.
I always feel the love. You know. I feel the love now.
Good, good. I'm glad I'm distributing the love, so I'm glad you're accepting it. Very good. I feel good about that. Well, guys, we have a big, big show today. I don't know if you guys have done this, but I bought Halloween candy, and I am ready for Halloween. You
guys prepping, right? Well, also, Mark Andrada is doing Hollywood things.
Oh, yeah. I've skipped. I was so excited. I was excited about candy, but I skipped Mark. Hey, Mark, do you want some candy? Not on this episode, because you're not here, bro. What are you doing, Hollywood stuff? Are you on set? I bet you craft services doesn't have candy, but I do. I'm going to eat all these Smarties. Here we go. Oh, oh good. These are good Smarties. Yeah, really delicious.
I think see, your Smarties are different than our Smarties.
I think you call these Rockets.
Like, wait, those aren't Smarties.
You call
these your Smarties are Rockets.
Rockets, you call them.
The little chalky candies.
Our Smarties are like chalky. Yeah,
they're
like
chalky little tablets. And they're in a plastic wrap up.
No, those are Rockets.
No, those are Rockets. What you call Smarties is what we call Rockets.
Is that a coffee crisp? That's my favorite Canadian candy.
What is a coffee crisp?
Jeanette.
Canada
so
chocolate.
Good.
You've never had a coffee crisp? Oh my goodness.
They're so good. Not even
I did buy my Halloween candy too. No, I've never bought it.
Jeanette, how about
we don't have them in the States. The coffee crisp.
Jeanette, I'm going to send
Canadian
you
special.
A coffee crisp and one of my stickers that I've got that I haven't opened the package of yet. How about that?
They're really good. It's like a coffee Kit Kat, if you can imagine such a thing.
Oh yeah. Okay, I've had a coffee Kit Kat. That sounds good. Yeah.
Theirs are better though because they have decent chocolate.
We've bought our Halloween candy too.
What do you guys give out for your Halloween?
Nola insisted on M&M's being included.
Yeah, good call.
So I got the big chocolate pack with like four other chocolate things, like Milky Ways and stuff. And then something with like Starburst and Skittles.
Oh, but you'll put them in separate bowls, right?
Right.
No. I mix everything all up together.
Now,
I mix everything together.
Do you guys?
Because I feel like when you do that, you get like fruity tasting chocolate.
I love a huge mix where you just get a big handful and you get all kinds of craziness in there. But as long as it's all good craziness, I don't want any like, you know, what are those things? Chicka sticks or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are strange. I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool. Or dots.
What's a chicka stick? Oh, I like dots.
This is America candy, Matt. We don't know what this stuff is.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, you're right.
Chicka sticks. Ah, yes.
They're gross.
Howdy. Love. Y'all like chicka sticks?
Yeah, man.
I'd want to be the house that gives out cans of pop. No, not pop. Soda, as you would say in the cool country.
America.
Yeah.
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 Soda. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the soda houses on Halloween, those were always my favorite growing
up.
We
don't do that here.
No,
really?
We don't do that. And yeah, our parents would probably not let us drink that if we got that from a house. They'd be like, that's not normal. You don't.
We're not taking that.
Wow, you're missing out.
I always felt like the people who gave out pop were the people who ran out of candy.
One Halloween, I got cotton candy flavored cream soda.
What?
And I distinctly remember, I distinctly remember thinking, even at this young age, this is a magical, I've never seen this flavor before in my life. And I actively looked for it after that when I was in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see it again since then. Wow. So to me, the most magical Halloween, magical Halloween treat was cotton candy.
Or you had so much candy prior that you were just hallucinating this soda and it doesn't exist. You were just like,
wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. I'm hopped up on Mountain Dew, son. And you were just going crazy.
what does the Bondo house give out?
I don't know. I bought some junk. I don't know. I bought some candy bars and I bought Smarties and eyeball
full sized or fun sized?
Fun sized, the little guys. And I bought
Double
Bubble. Lollipops, like those sugar lollipops. I don't know. I went to the dollar store. Look, I was cheap. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
I'll tell you about ours. We live in a neighborhood where we get literally thousands of trick or treaters.
Whoa.
So, especially on weekends, when it's on a weekend, we get a lot. And I'm not exaggerating the amount.
Mm-hmm.
So, we go to my cousin's house. We have like a chili cookout.
Yum.
And we make a fire in the front yard because we have like a portable fire pit, right? So we all sit out there with bowls of candy and the kids come. And so everyone in my family brings like two or three of the giant assorted kinds, like whatever kind of thing you like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also go to Costco and get full size candy bars. So when kids come up with like a really good costume or they do a trick or tell us a joke, then they get a full size candy bar.
Damn.
So. That's our little tradition over here.
I'm going to need the address for this place, and I'm going to get a costume, and I will see you on Sunday.
Yeah, because even if you don't do a trick, like you still get a handful of candy. We're not like one piece.
You're not like candy misers, obviously.
No.
Hey, let's get on with this show because we got a lot to talk about. Can I lead this show off with something? Did you guys listen to our episode where we talked about replacement attractions for Shrek 4D?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just made me wish I experienced the Alfred Hitchcock show because
oh my God,
that's something I would really love now, but I didn't care for or was too scared of when it was actually there because I was too young.
You don't appreciate it when you're a kid and now you're like, oh, that would have been the best.
It's actually burned into my memory, that part where they show you how they did the vertigo trick. I'll remember that.
Oh, was it all? I thought it was just the birds. I thought it was just a scene of the birds in 3D. No. It was all the, that's amazing.
Well, it changed over the years too, right? And they did the bathroom scene and they would have someone like from the audience be the stabby person in the bathroom. Anyway, our good friend John Self. We know John Self. He is a Diz nerd and a Universal file, Disney blogs, Universal blogs. And he's kind of the show cop. Whenever we say something wrong, John is quick to correct us. And John, I love you for it. Keep sending us our mess ups, buddy. And John had some input on our Shrek 4D armchair imagineering, where we were coming up with replacement concepts. And John replied to us and said to some of our pitches, because some of our pitches included a Beetlejuice offering, a Scooby-Doo offering, and a Sing offering. Or a Sing It Live, like a return of kind of an American Idol Live. To which John basically lets us know that he poo-pooed.
I'm sorry. You're not going to talk about the Brendan Fraser?
No. Well, I don't need to, because that one apparently passed its mustard. Like, it was fine. It was
okay.
Like, no problem with John. John's dumping on all the other ones. So you're golden, Miriam, quite frankly. Brendan Fraser all the way. But apparently Beetlejuice and Scooby-Doo, they don't have the rights to anything but the walk-around characters, says John.
Interesting.
And he also mentioned, as far as like a Sing It Live show or American Idol return, that apparently they, a lot of surveys with the audience, those shows rated very poorly because the only person who really had fun was the person who got on stage and everyone else was kind of bored out of their face. So those will not be returning to the park anytime soon, says John. And so, yeah, John essentially killed our ideas with facts. And I like that, John. I like that about you. But I will say that I listened to Jim Hill, and Jim Hill speculating that it could just be the Kung Fu Panda show that's in Universal Hollywood that probably makes its way to the same 4D theater, which I watched way back on YouTube and still got nauseous. So I'm not keen for this Kung Fu Panda thing.
I would say as long as they update the seats in that theater, the one and only time I've gone to that show, sitting in those seats is like instantly painful. It, like as soon as that horseback ride, which is like half the show, right? Like yeah, on yeah. and off, you're doing that horseback riding. That was a little rough on the tailbone.
Right. I just don't remember getting ill at Shrek 4D. And via YouTube, I was getting ill for Kung Fu Panda on this boat. You're on a boat ride.
Is your threshold getting lower?
Yeah, it is. As I get older and fatter, I just get more nauseous. I'm like, oh, God, oh, Poe, you're killing me. All right. So thanks for that, John. We appreciate your input and keep it coming, man. I love hearing the feedback. Okay. How about we sell shirts, right? Because that's how we make some money sometimes. It's T-shirt time. Oh, I miss Jersey Shore. You guys? No? Okay.
T-Public presents It's Your Shoutouts.
Everyone shaking their head. You don't remember T-shirt time? That was the thing that Pauly D would say all the time.
I've never watched a moment of that show.
Is it, nor I.
Is it because I'm anything about that show?
Oh, wow. Is it because I'm old? Maybe because that I liked that show.
No, I just I remember knew that was the not show. Be I up try my not alley. To.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. So it's not an age thing. It's just a I'm not cool and you're all so cool. Okay, I get it. It's T-shirt time, Pauly D. Here we go. T-Public's where you can find all kinds of Disney and Universal shirts. You just go to our website, welikethemeparks.com, and poke around the page. It's a cool way to support us, and it's a cool way to get gear for the parks. I think it's super cool. I've said cool 4 times. This week, I want to give a shout out to @ninja_n3rd. It's our buddy Nick. And Nick claims he's the once and future king of Mandalore. He must like The Mandalorian or Star Wars or both. He's from Monterey Park, California, but I wanted to give him a shout out because him and his wife, Ashley, who are friends of the podcast, recently got hired at Disneyland, and we wanted to congratulate both of them. They're new cast members. Guys, this is for you, Nick and Ashley. You are cast members. You're living the dream, the Disney dream. So congratulations to you and a shout out right here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. Hey, Matt, you want to say hi to anybody?
Of course I do. So this is another one of my Disney YouTuber friends. So you can find her on Instagram at Zoelle's World, Zoelleswurld. And her name is Ajana Claire, and she's a fellow Disney YouTuber. She actually has two channels. One is Zoelle's World, the same handle as her Instagram. Then the other one is Being Ajana Claire. So Zoelle's World was her first channel, and it was based on her daughter and basically being a Disney mom. But then she started her second channel, Being Ajana Claire, to just focus on her life and her like adult love of Disney. So she talks about Loungefly bags a lot. She's really big in the Loungefly community. But she also does these incredible themed cocktail videos. So I've had her on my show a few times talking about films, and she'll always do a companion video where she invents cocktails inspired by the movie. So like she did Alien inspired cocktails when we talked about Alien. She did Wizard of Oz cocktails. Just Ajana Claire. Beautiful. Is awesome. So
great.
Zoelle's
check,
World.
Check her out. Zoelle's World. Zoelle. There is no Dana, only Zoelle.
Get yeah. It?
Anybody? Anyone excited for Ghostbusters? Me.
Ghostbusters.
Jeanette, do you want to shout out somebody in about a third of the time?
Yeah. No, I'll just second Matt's shout out and say hello to Ajana Claire.
Okay, sweet. Hey, Miriam, you want to say hi to anybody?
Good.
That's a no. Okay, moving on with the show. Let's have some fun, guys. There's so much news to talk about. And guess who's doing the news today? Moi. That's French.
Talking about news.
Talking news with Chris Bond here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Chris Bond. I'm doing the news today, filling in for Miriam Kenley, who's here but doesn't want to do it. All right, so. all right.
I just want to put my feet up and relax.
You're like, I just want to chime in. I don't want to do any research. The research part sucks. No wonder. Now I know why I don't like doing this. Okay, here we go.
Now you know why I don't do it.
I'm always like, we should do the news. And she's like, ugh, well, there's not really. I'm like, there's news. Okay, here's some news, friends. Price increase at the parks. What's up? It's that time of year. Parking's gone up $5. Basically, on regular tickets, it's anywhere from 3 to 8% increases around the board. Oh, by the way, this is all happening at Disneyland, friends. This is Disneyland, to be specific, in case you didn't know, because I'm definitely in the know. So price increases, it's that time of year, and it's happened. I mean, meh, whatever. $5 feels like a lot for parking, but everything else, yeah, that's kind of par for the course. It even happened.
Do they normally raise prices this time of year, or is this like early?
I feel like this
normally happens.
I thought it was,
I always thought it was after the first of the year. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I always thought it was like in January, February, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe they want to cash in on this Christmas run, you know what I mean, and just make some money.
What I really think it is the parks are crazy overcrowded. Like, my parents tried to go last weekend. This would be the weekend before Halloween, and it was completely sold out.
Wow.
Which is, it sells out in October quite a lot, but I think November is almost sold out too.
Wow.
So, and I know December is very close to being sold out as well.
Wow.
So maybe it's like they're trying to do crowd control with the price increase early.
Or they just want to make that money, make money, money, money. That's what my vote is for. All right, more news, friends. The parking tram is coming back in quote-unquote early 2022 at Disneyland. So guests who've had to unfortunately walk the tram path to get to the parks, maybe that there's your price increase. It's paying for that tram. Early 2022, they haven't said which month. But, you know, early. That's good. Great. People have been really complaining about this. It's quite the hoof. And it's also
very terrible.
A part of the magic, too. I love that trend.
Have they announced?
Yeah, it's the first ride of the day.
Yeah.
Have they announced when it'll come back at Disney World?
Because
we never drove around. We always used the transportation. And then when we went back post-COVID, our first visit during restrictions and everything, we rented a car that time and started driving around. And then since then, have used our own car and rented cars since then and have never used the parking tram in any of our experiences. So we've only experienced walking whatever distance that is. And I'm interested to like know what it's like, how much easier, because like we already think it's easier in some respects, not all respects, I guess. Like the Skyliner is still nice. I would take that anytime I can. But
Parking tram, especially at the Magic Kingdom, like transportation and ticket center, is so much better than having to walk that giant parking lot.
We intentionally do not park at the TTC. We'll go to a place and have a meal and then use the transportation there, which I know is kind of technically a big no-no, but we went to Kona Cafe last time so we could go to Magic Kingdom on the boat from Polynesian.
Yeah. Right.
It's just how I'm doing it.
Is it
that parking lot with no tram is rough.
Is it cheaper to park there too if you park at the hotel versus parking?
It's free.
What?
Because you're eating there.
Oh, sneaky sneak.
So they don't track the time like between your receipt to when you're going back to the car?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's quite the shoulder shrug there.
It's an official, unofficial tip.
That may or may not work. It's a roll of the dice, friend.
So it's not sanctioned, we'll say that. But it's worked quite well. And let's say you can walk from the Contemporary, so...
Yes, you can do that too. Wink, wink.
Which is probably as far as you would walk in that giant parking lot and not even be at the parks yet.
Right. All right, more news, friends. Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane is launched and active at Walt Disney World. Signs are starting to pop up at Disneyland, but right now Disney World is where it's at. If you don't know what it is, we've talked about it on the show a little bit. The Genie Plus is a $15 skip the line situation. It's essentially you're paying for Fast Pass for almost all the rides. There's a couple, two exclusive rides per park that you have the Lightning Lane, which is a unique pay as you go attraction. You can do, I think, two in one day. Anyway, it's activated. It's happening now. The app has been re-released. I would say the feedback so far is kind of right down the middle. There's some people who are digging it and it's been working out fine and have had no problems with it. But there's also people who have struggled to use the app. The app has been kind of up and down. I feel like millennials can get a really easy grasp of this thing, but anyone who's not is kind of struggling. Like, I'm picturing my mom trying to go on a ride at Disney and just being like, I give up, you know? after paying the $15, being like, I don't know, well, forget it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. It doesn't seem like that hard a system. It looks exactly like MaxPass to me.
I think FastPass has had a learning curve with them as well.
Yeah.
And I still don't fully understand. Well, I understand in theory how Lightning Lanes work probably as well as I understood FastPasses the first time I had to practically figure out my way of booking them and all the little like quirks of, oh, there's a 1 hour window and then you have to plan around that. And I think Lightning Lane just has its special little unique things like that, that once everyone figures out what they are, then it will hopefully work kind of seamlessly.
Yeah. It's a bit like the new frontier right now and people are kind of wrapping their head around it. I would think right now.
I'm just going to predict right now that when it launches at Disneyland, there's not going to be any hiccups.
Well, you had it
already. I have a feeling everyone's going to know exactly how it works.
It's just going to be like, hey, five more bucks. Thanks a lot, Disney.
Yeah, you guys got it at a discount.
Yeah, right on.
I got to say, I'm not like intimidated by the platform necessarily. I think that it's one of those things that you really can either take it or leave it. I think it's even more that way now. Let me preface this with a Disney World person.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can more so take it or leave it, I think, now than you could even before. But all that said, I have a trip coming up in January where my sister and her whole family, who have like really never been there before, she went once when we were younger, but like we're not blood related. But anyway, I have to tell her like, hey, all that stuff we talked about, now there's this thing that you need to figure out before we go. And you need to decide if you want to pay. They have three kids. So like, they need to decide if this is a thing that they need to have every day. And like, they already had to decide if they wanted Park Hopper. So I think for someone who's
you
like,
can't,
just
you
signing
can't buy
up,
it like the morning of, like you can't do a game time decision with these.
Oh, I believe you do have the option. In fact, if you use the regular Genie system, it's constantly prompting you to upgrade.
To upgrade.
It's constantly
so
like,
then my,
are you sure you don't
want to
pay $15? Are you sure you don't want to go on Rise of the Resistance for $15? Are you sure you don't want to are you sure you don't want to eat at Flame Tree Barbecue? You're right there. No, book you a table. It's good. It's constantly pushing you into doing things, which, I mean, it could be convenient, but it also is a little bit annoying. But
I do have a question. Like, if you don't do Genie Plus, are you automatically not, do you not have access to buying a Rise of the Resistance pass?
No, you absolutely
like, do you have to, you don't have to do the $15 plus that if that's all you want to do?
No, yeah. Oh, if you want to do the a la carte, you can just do it. You can just do regular Genie and go, you know what? Give me, I'll take one Rise, please, for $15.
Okay.
I think
not bad.
Yeah, it's actually not bad. I mean, speaking from a person that's just, this is what I'm gleaning from YouTubers and people who have been going on it. For me, I'm a little bit like, okay, YouTuber, it costs you $15 for this thing. It's going to cost me 15 times four every time I do this. It's a different scenario for families, you know, but with that said, I feel like there's a little sneaky secret here and maybe I'm way off, but I remember a time going to Universal Studios and being like, yo, I got one day to do both parks. I want to make sure I hit up everything. I'm going to take the VIP, skip the line, pay the extra, like an extra $200. I spent a lot of money, but I was like, screw it. I'm here one day, man. I'm doing everything. And then I got in the park and you know what? You can't tell when you walk in the park if it's busy or not. You really can't. You can't until you get into those lines and you see those ride times. And what I found was, you know what? I didn't really need this thing. I paid $200. I'm getting on everything. No problem. This Genie situation, what's great about it is if you open it up, it'll tell you when you can buy the next Genie Lightning Lane on the $15. So you can get a sense of if it's busy or not. So this is what I mean. You show up at 9 o'clock, you walk into the park, you're going to walk on to, let's pick a ride. That's not one of the premium rides. Let's say you're going to go on Peter Pan. Excellent choice. You're going to go on Peter Pan. You walk up to Peter Pan. You get into the standby line. You open up your app and your app says, hey, yeah, great. You're doing Peter Pan. Here's some suggestions for things that maybe you want to do after because of based on your proximity, based on the things you like, based on the time of day. But by the way, if you want to pay $15 and skip the line, the next FastPass window, pardon me, Lightning Lane window for Peter Pan is at 10 o'clock. Well, now you know, well, people aren't paying a lot because I can get in like really soon. If it said it's 2 o'clock, you would know it's a busy day. So now you can kind of get in and pay as you play. If you're seeing that the lines, they're not selling a ton of Lightning Lane that day, once you're in the park, you can maybe back off and not do it. You know, well, you know what? It's okay. But if you get in and it's, you're right away, you open it up and you see that these rides are 3, 4, 5 hours later is your window on a Lightning Lane, then you know, yo, it's going to be busy lines. Let's get this Lightning Lane. So I feel like it gives you a little bit of flexibility there and a little bit of a tip to whether you need to get it or not, because that was the worst, was throwing away $200, skipping lines that I didn't need to skip. It depends on the day. I think this thing is going to actually be really great. And if people want to pay to absolutely have some of those premium attractions, they have the Lightning Lane option.
It's really dumb that they didn't give them separate names. That's driving me insane.
It's a little funky.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they should have called the ones that you pay extra for something different. Like, Super Lightning Lane, or their favorite, Lightning Lane Plus.
Yeah, Lightning Lane Plus.
Come on.
How about Lightning Lane Zap, you know? But what we've seen so far is, because they rolled out the list and we talked about it, I think last week on the pod, the pricing for all the different premium attractions. But now we've seen them change in flux based on park availability, based on a date, if it's a weekday or weekend. And we've seen them kind of slide up towards like $2 to $3 more per attraction. So that's really interesting to know that there's a sliding scale. And that sliding scale, who knows where it'll ever stop. Right now,
well, the only one that didn't change was Rise of the Resistance. That one was $15. That was right. As high as they went.
Yeah, it's still
so right there. Hopefully there is a cap on what they'll do.
It hasn't gone above 15, has it?
No. Okay. It's 15 no matter the day.
That's the base price.
So even if it's a low capacity, it's 15.
Yeah.
The high capacity day, it's still 15.
I feel like these asterisks that come with some pricing with Disney now, with this whole price may change idea, like for the Star Cruiser, if you book with them before you pay it off, there is a chance that the price will increase, and like they'll just tell you, and they'll be like, hey, your trip costs more now, so before the end of payment it's going to be more than you, and it can go up by as much as, I think they said, 20%.
What?
So, yeah, but like, I think that's always been the policy with any hotels.
But I feel like that egregious of a, and who knows if that'll actually happen. I mean, I'm sure they're just covering their butts, but at the same time, that, and then this with the rides, like, I don't know.
So wait a second. Are you saying that they can say, all right, you want to stay at the Halcyon? It's going to cost you $5,000. I go, here's my $5,000. Then a month later, they'll go, you got to give us one more.
If you pay outright.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
But if you put the deposit and then pay it off before you're done, it can go up.
Wow. Okay. There you go, friends. Pay in full if you want to make sure and guarantee that that's all you're going to pay. Funny thing you mentioned that, Jeanette, is one of the things that people didn't realize when they were doing Lightning Lane, these premium paid attractions, was there's tax. So you'll get a receipt. So it's not really 15. It's 16 and change. But people are like,
there's tax on it?
There is. Yeah. You'll get an email, the receipt after you ride the ride, and you'll note that there are tax on top of. Now it's Florida tax, so it's cheap. It's not a lot. But still, there's tax. You'd figure it would be rolled in there, but nope, it's on top of. So there you go.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, but I would say so far, it's been a real mixed reaction. If people are really liking the service or not. It feels like people are still able to get on rides, even if they don't pay for the Genie Plus. And maybe having this system is keeping those standby lines relatively regular. And they haven't been crazy lines. Like, you know, Rise of the Resistance, 70 minutes. I mean, that's reasonable. That's very reasonable.
I feel like that was always, obviously, the reason that this was rolled out was for more money on Disney's part. But I think what they were trying to promise, if not imply, was that with this new system, it would help to regulate crowds in that way, just with the algorithms sort of dispersing people so that they were more evenly spread out and sort of alleviating the problems that came with fast passes. Just having spoken to cast members who said it was so much better from their perspective, like as workers, but also for the guest experience when there were no fast passes and there were just standby lines because the crowds were regulated so much better. So I think in theory, like the Lightning Lanes are trying to promise that they're going to help to regulate that and maintain that. And I'm curious to see just with time if that's something that actually is paid off, which is time will tell.
See, I think the holiday season will test that.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, you're just going to be, you're going to have at capacity days. You're going mm-hmm. to have days where, like, if this works, then it has to work today because it's running at 100%. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest test will be Magic Kingdom during holidays and mm-hmm. Hollywood Studios, because those two seem to be like what you're going to be waiting the longest for lines anyway, you know?
Do you think?
No. But also, I don't like computers telling me what to do. So well, there's that.
The thing that bothers me about bother is the wrong word, but I used to like just cruising around the park. You'd start, you'd hang a left, you go into Adventureland, you'd make your way around Magic Kingdom, and you go on the rides where you were. This thing will tell you to go, I'll go the other side of the park, go on this ride. Now come back all the way. It makes you traverse across the park to get on rides that it feels you want to go on, that the ride times are insignificant at the moment. So,
true, but you don't have to listen to the genie. No, so I think, like, again, if it works the way that they claim it will, I would like to think, and this goes back to me saying that I don't like computers telling me what to do, which plays into everything that you just said, Chris Bond, in your wisdom, is that I would like to think it would set up a park going experience where if I opt to not do what the genie commands me to do, then the park is just readily available for me to experience the way that I want to and with slightly more manageable lines when I get to the attraction that I just happen to want to ride, I would hope.
Yeah. I think so far I'm fine with this thing. If people want to pay a premium and that keeps the lines regular and a little bit more normal, then great. I mean, we always fought earlier was like, I hated this, what do you call it? The old Star Wars thing.
Virtual queue.
Thank you. Virtual queue. Where there's a chance that you will not get on this ride.
Boarding group. Sorry.
Boarding groups. Group. Yeah.
There's virtual queue.
Whatever you want to call it. The thing where there was
a
kind of a good chance that you might not ride. And now if I want to guarantee it, I could just pay. I can just pay.
Ooh, although, and I
guarantee it.
There have been complaints, or I think they're still ironing this out, something about how they're regulating specifically with Rise of the Resistance, how that works for resort guests versus non-resort guests, because a lot of the reservations, like the paid $15 reservations, were being sold out by resort guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they got access to it.
Yeah. Then it opened up this whole conversation of who's entitled to spend the $15 because mm-hmm. they got to a point where that was running out.
Right. Well, I feel like the resort guests should have some kind of value add.
I gotta agree with that. I would say resort guests should have some sort of first foot in the at Disney World. Again, prefacing with at Disney World, but like,
yeah, the only caveat to it, the only thing I don't like, what's the top tier resort there?
The Lux Resort, they get
the magic hours now, and nobody else. That's pretty gross to me.
Yeah, I don't like that too much either. I know that's kind of old hat news at this point, but I think that's a bit of a bummer. But I do like options. Like I said, I like that you can take or leave this service. And mm-hmm. I think I like Chris said, if there's an option, you can take it or you cannot take it. Mm-hmm. I would say nobody's shoving it down your throat, but if you open the app, you know that's not true. But still, you can still choose to not push the button.
Which is great. So far it's been a little touch and go, but I'm interested to get to the park and try it myself. And I think with my family, it's going to be a little funky and could be expensive, but I'm interested to see what just a regular day with my family at the park without paying the anything. Will it get me on all the rides I want to get on? You know, can we do it mm-hmm. all in one day? I'm really interested to see if you go during high season, the answer is going to be no. You're going to pay, but you're there during high season. So if you go during a more moderate time, then maybe it'll be the way that this thing is intended to be. Let's move mm-hmm. on. All right. Because there's more news, guys. And it's great.
There's
news.
More?
Yeah. Get ready. Here it comes. Fear Factor Live. Bye-bye. It's Gonzo. Permanently closing November 1st. Right now, you've got that amazing Nightmare Fuel show in there, which is just spectacular. We've talked about that for the Halloween Horror Nights event. But right now, there's no word on a replacement, but I would have to imagine that this is going to be some expansion of the Wizarding World is going to go into that space.
Good.
Yeah. In the World Expo land at Universal Orlando, which would just have, if let's say it does go to Wizarding World, it would literally just have Men in Black in it. That would be it. Men in Black, World Expo. So yeah, November 1st. It's funny because you can't go and see it. It hasn't been open for over a year, Fear Factor Live.
I was going to say, isn't it quote unquote seasonal anyway?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, but this I got to say, I started going to Universal somewhat recently in history. I don't know, 2016, 2017. Yeah. I hadn't really gone before that. It was open a few times that I've been, and I've still never gone to it. And like, I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I never found a reason to go in there.
Yeah. I saw it. It was fine. It was okay. I think it's great. Get rid of it. Turn it into something else. I think that that venue was good for something because they put a lot of different shows. So Halloween Horror Night shows. The Bill and Ted show was there forever during Halloween Horror Nights. I'm disappointed if they wipe out that venue a little bit, but look, if they're going to make another like premium Wizarding World attraction, I want it, bring it, let's do it. But
I want a sit down restaurant, like not the ones they have. Those are all it's all counter service. Am I wrong? Like there's no Harry Potter, beautiful, lovely, experiential sit down restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, like a grand
plop one right there. It's in London. That stretches London, right? Am I wrong? That's, what? Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I know we're not armchair imagineering right now, but let me pitch you one. Okay. What if you also, you'd have to attach this to the Forbidden Journey somehow, but when you go inside Hogwarts, you can hang a right and now you're in the Great Hall. And I think this is something where you couldn't pay there because it would take away from the experience. And it's a buffet experience. It's family style buffet. You walk, you sit at the bench, just like the kids do. And all the food just is laid out and you just graze. Just like the kids do. And it's like,
I like the Great Hall idea.
Amounts of people buffeting.
You're losing me at buffet. I want something fancy schmancy. I want Universal can have enough of that.
Yeah, but the storytelling
the buffet appears on the table magically. Yes. Like it shows up in front of you, family style. And then like those restaurants where there's a conveyor belt and like the food just goes past, you take what you want, except instead of conveyor belt, it's just magic.
Okay, Matt sold me on it. That's
well, cool. I think there's some technology right now on the new Marvel boat. You know, this quantum food or whatever it is. There's some kind of like magic food that happens on your table. I don't know. I read something about it. Yeah. On the new Disney cruise, there is a Marvel dining experience where Ant-Man and the Wasp, you like zap and quantumize your food and turn like a little cupcake into a huge cupcake. And it happens at your table and then you eat the cupcake. So, I mean, like there's magic that can happen.
Well, there's
the technology.
I hope Disney fires those Imagineers so they get disgruntled and bring this technology to Universal so we can have this.
J.K. Rowling is all about storytelling and she will not allow you to walk in and participate as a student and then pay a bill. That won't make any sense storytelling wise. You should just be able to
pay ahead of time. But this is all dependent upon Universal having good food inside of the park. And I haven't found that yet inside of a Universal park.
No. I find that the Harry Potter food is the best of the Universal.
Is it? Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the two times I've eaten at the counter service there, that's other than the ice cream is the best ice cream in the world.
Yeah. I'm saying if you don't like the Harry Potter food, it doesn't get better from there.
Right.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the Monster Cafe was greasy and gross, but in the best way.
Right.
It was like everything I wanted from a greasy American barbecue restaurant.
Anyway, sorry. All this suffice to say Fear Factor's closing. I was just saying, I think that would be a great extension of the area.
All right. I'll keep the news coming, friends. So character meet and greets have kind of been gone, but they're coming back sort of. They have something called character sightings that are coming back to the parks and they're coming in November. And essentially they haven't given all the details, but they basically, Fairy Tale Hall is going to be happening again. Other meet and greet interactions are going to be happening again. No hugs allowed, no touchy, but you will be in closer proximity. You will be able to take a photo, not with them way behind you in the distance. I'm interested to see, they haven't exactly examined and discussed that distance and what it's exactly going to be, but there will be some kind of meet and greet experience that is going to be touchless that is coming, and they are calling it character sightings. And this is returning to the park. I don't know, man. Do you want to do a meet and greet without hugging somebody? I don't know. I'm a hugger. And I don't meet princesses.
I really like to hug the characters.
Oh, I want to hug me an Eeyore. I want to hug me a Tigger. Princesses, I steer clear. I don't even know how to touch no princess. But all the cute and cuddlies.
I don't think it's us adults we have to worry about. What happens when you have a 4-year-old that's like got all of their power behind them and they're like, I'm going to go hug them. Like, well, how do you...
I think there's going to be some kind of built-in barrier, whether it be like a fence or, well, I guess a velvet rope wouldn't stop an enthusiastic four-year-old, but I do think they're going to definitely take that into consideration and somehow distance it, but still close in the proximity. And I don't know, like, just in hearing this news, I feel like this is just the natural step towards us getting closer to the meet and greets of old with the hugs and with the interactivity.
Yay.
Because, yeah, like, I don't think you get there without this step. Like, I've seen a lot of people complaining online saying Disney is just trying to make things less magical and make like cut the budget and everything. I'm like, this costs exactly the same that it would if the hugs were allowed.
It's
like you have
more,
the same amount of employees,
it's more
the same amount of everything
to buy all the crap, to police it.
Yeah, no, like this, I see this as the necessary step towards getting to hug them.
Yeah,
eventually.
It's a step in the right direction.
And I will say they have done an outstanding job of the way that characters have been in the parks right now. So I think this next step, it may sound weird at first not to hug them, but they're going to make it natural because I really thought like, oh, just seeing them up on the train station is going to be kind of sad. But they really were going above and beyond to have interactions with everybody that was walking by or seeing them. So this now you're going to get a closer one-on-one. Like, it's going to be great still. And I think Matt's right. It's just the progression to getting back to normal.
Yep.
You can't just jump full force into hugs.
You know, and I like how it's...
I'm going to hug you. Oh. Sorry. So what do you know? I'm going to hug him when I see him. I'm going to hold you. You're so sad. I want to turn that frown upside down. Sorry, Matt. What were you saying?
I was just... you distracted me with your charm, Chris Bunn. No, I was just going to say, what I also like about it, and I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I like from the perspective of the characters themselves that they're not just opening the floodgates and saying, people can hug you now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's important and people forget that it is a two-sided interaction and the characters are living, breathing creatures as well who like should have some say and some agency in how they interact with people. Because I know that was kind of a conversation that started to be opened up with Ariel meeting like in mermaid tail form. Because some of the guys and the dads were getting creepy with her in her seashell bra. And so then, as I understand it, I don't think it's been confirmed, but from what I understand, they then started to give Ariel the choice to wear her seaweed jacket or like how she wanted to appear when she was having that interaction. And it was just up to how Ariel felt on that day. So I think it's important to give the characters some agency in how they're opting to interact with guests. And I think this might be good for contributing to that discussion.
Fair. I like it. We want to make sure our princesses are comfortable, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's more news, friends. The Festival of the Arts is she's a coming back.
Yes, that's my favorite.
I know you like that. I've seen you. If you see Matt solo tripping in his painting costume with his little paintbrushes and stuff, he'll be there. And what's coming back, actually, is those Broadway concerts are back. We didn't get them last year. Really exciting. Some of Broadway's best performers performing some Disney stuff. And it's happening January 14th to February 24th. That's the festival.
Yay! Yes. I'm going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
So is Jeanette.
Festival of the Arts is my favorite festival.
I've never been.
It's mine too.
I'm very excited.
It's so magical. I love it so much.
I've only done Food and Wine and Flower and Garden.
Excited
for arts.
Festival of the Arts, the food is every bit as good, if not better in a lot of regards. We had this steak tartare last year that was like bonkers.
Yeah. My favorite is the turkey leg festival. It's only one day.
Boy.
It's the day I'm there.
That's that a
the
thing?
It's the day I'm there. Yeah, that's the turkey leg festival.
Yeah. It's the one man festival in American Adventure.
Yeah. Population one, Bondo.
It's What's the that? Only festival that also travels to Frontierland.
I like that festival. It's a traveling festival. I like it. Yep. Hey, friends, there's actually some more news. The Jungle Cruise. Did you know that Mark Davis designed some really cute frogs that were in the original Jungle Cruise in 1971 in the Magic Kingdom? That, some of the people in the park looked a little too hokey, so they wiped them out after 2 years. They disappeared. Well, they're back. Oh. 50 years later, Mark Davis's frogs have returned to the Jungle Cruise.
Ew.
Yeah, they're near Inspiration Falls. They actually never took away the audio So if you go by Inspiration Falls, like prior to them putting them back, you would hear it for the frogs. But there was no frogs. The frogs are back. Mark Davis's frogs. It's great. It's just a beautiful tribute. 50 years. You want a little bit of 50 magic? Boom. Frogs. Ribbit, yo.
So cute. Well,
I mean, I was hoping they'd bring the Hatbox Ghost to Florida, but I'll take some frogs.
Why build a new animatronic when you can dust off an old one from 50 years ago and just give him a paint job and throw him out there and call it a tribute to Mark Davis? Yeah. Sneaky.
They never throw anything away.
Literally, right? This thing's 50 years old.
I was thinking, I wonder where Trader Sam's, you know, audio animatronic, like skeleton, like who he's being repurposed as. Because you know that.
Kylo Ren.
He's probably in the pile of bodies underneath the Carousel of Progress and will become fodder for that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, so scary. Yeah. Could you imagine?
Really scary. Ooh,
maybe that's the right.
No, that's really true. There's like piles of animatronic bodies under the stage that they just bring up when things are breaking down.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding about that.
What? Okay, that's nightmare fuel for another day. Okay, we got more news.
It's the Treehouse of Terror.
Hey, Miriam, maybe you want to jump in for this one because I want to talk a little bit about Magic Key going on in Disneyland. There's been a lot of problems with the reservation system in Disney's Magic Key. Miriam, you are a Magic Key holder. What's going on?
It's really rough out there. Since I'm out of state, I have to buy one of the top three keys. And since I'm out of state, I usually need to go on a weekend. So the only key that even has weekends is the top one, the $1,400 one. So, of course, I had to buy that. And since I had to buy that and you do it all at once, I wasn't able to get it on the day they went on sale, to my detriment, because as soon as they got bought that first day, reservations were being made and weekend reservations were gone like this. Literally all weekend reservations are gone through the end of January October.
so it's
just like a huge bummer because they were kind of making it like, oh, if you buy the top key, they made it sound like you had more access to the parks than you do. So they were saying things like no blackout dates and you can make up to 6 reservations. So in my mind, I think I was thinking, well, surely they'll have a bigger pool of reservations for that dream key then.
Right.
Like, I know that there's a certain amount of reservations per day. I think in my mind, I thought there would be like obviously higher than this, but say on a Tuesday, there's like 100 SoCal resident ones. And then the key above that, maybe there's 200 reservations and the one after that, 300, whatever.
Right.
Like, I thought there would be more reservations per tier. Mm-hmm. Like, the more you paid, the more opportunity you had to be able to get one in a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. So for me, I bought the $1,400 one and Kiara bought the SoCal one, which was $300. So I ended up spending quadruple the amount of money and I have the exact same access to the parks as someone who spent the $300.
Ridiculous.
Oh, I feel gross.
Yeah, it's really rough. And people are very upset because we all bought the best one thinking, if I buy the best one, I'll have more chances to go to the park. And you don't. You have the exact same chances of going to the park as someone who bought the lowest key.
Can I talk about the silver lining, though? May I?
Please do.
The silver lining is going on the Magic Keys Instagram and reading all the posts.
Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious. But before we get to those comments, as of yesterday, I think because of all the negative feedback, that's the only thing I can think of. They are saying that they are sold out of the Dream Key, which is the highest tier key.
Mm.
Now, I don't know how you would sell out the annual passes, and I don't know why they would say that of their most expensive. You would think that they would want the most expensive to be continuing to be purchased, but I think people are so upset that they spent that much money and they can't get to the parks that they're no longer selling anymore, and they haven't said when they'll come back.
What's the point at that point, right?
Exactly. Like, so for my trip in November with Body by Beignets, we had this planned in August and they bought their keys the day they went on sale. So they were able to get a reservation for that weekend that day. Since I couldn't afford to do it until October, that weekend is long gone and I ended up having to buy tickets to Disneyland.
Brutal.
So it's really brutal, like spending that much money and then having to spend another $300 on top of it, and then with prices going up this week on Disneyland tickets. So it's like, it feels bad to like be complaining that we have a pass, but literally Disneyland is so annual pass driven. And I feel like they are trying to make it like they're not, but they are. Like, you cannot treat Disneyland the same way as Disney World.
Yeah, just isn't.
It's just not a thing. Yeah. Like, I think they want to say that they're ticket driven at Disneyland, but it's simply not true. Like, if you don't want that many pass holders to come, then just make the passes more expensive, I guess. But don't make them more expensive and then give us no access.
Yeah, I just really don't like, you have a pass that says you can go every day and then you're buying tickets. Like, it's preposterous. It's
It's very upsetting. And I talked to our, you know, like a few friends who are cast members, and they are also no longer really allowed to make cast member reservations, which I think is especially egregious, because that's why a lot of cast members work there. Yeah. Is you're not getting paid very much, so you need to be able to have the perk of going to the parks whenever you want. Yeah. So with the old pass system, they could pretty much go whenever they wanted. And now, and then when reservations happened, it was harder to get a reservation for cast members. And now that keys have happened, they literally are being locked out of going to the parks at all.
Right.
Well, so it's really upsetting for me to think about that. Yeah, I paid a lot of money, but like, I want cast members to be able to go. That's part of magic, you know? You can't stay happy in a job at a place where you want to, like, that's why you're working there. So I just feel like we're going to lose cast members over this, and it's just not the way to treat people.
I guess the question is that many more people going to both of these parks, to Disney World and Disneyland, that we've come to this?
I don't get the sense that this is a problem with the Disney World passes at all.
Right.
I think this is specifically a Disneyland annual pass problem.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I personally have never had a
problem getting reservations.
We don't live there, yeah, but when we've been there, I've literally like never had a problem getting reservations. I think there's been a couple of times where like one of the parks has been full, but like there's three.
But then you can hop over to that full one later in the day, usually, right?
Yeah, and I literally just heard a YouTuber talk about that the other day. They're like, Magic Kingdom was full, so I just made a Hollywood Studios park reservation and then I park hopped there. And I'm like, oh yeah, I never thought about that. I thought about jumping from a resort there, but you got to pay for a park hopping ticket though.
If you're buying a ticket,
but if you have a pass,
if you have an annual pass, fancy. I can't afford these passes.
Please. I think this is specifically a Disneyland problem, and to do that to the park that is pass driven, I think is really bad.
But here's the question. Does the potato care?
No, because look what happens. Like, care. I'm so mad, but I still ended up, I want to go with my friends. So I ended up buying a ticket. So that didn't affect him at all. It just only affected me and my level of anger.
You should write him a stern letter.
I mean, I wrote a strongly worded story and tagged Magic Key in it, but that was about as far as I went.
I would write him a letter. I'll tell you what. The other day I went to McDonald's. I picked up drive-through for my kids. I got Happy Meals. I came home. One Happy Meal had no fries in it. You know what I did? I called McDonald's. I straight up called McDonald's. And I went, I drove all the way there in the rain. I got my kids Happy Meals. It's supposed to have French fries in it. I open up the box. There's no French fries in it. You think my kid was happy? I got one kid who's got no fries. The other kid doesn't want to share fries. I got a fry fight at my house. This is preposterous. This is ridiculous. You put fries in the Happy Meal. Thank you. I thought I wasn't going to hear anything. I forgot about it. I was just angry, and I picked up the phone because that's what I do. Did you know that they sent me 2 free Happy Meals in the mail? Woohoo!
They mailed you Happy Meals?
They mailed me a coupon. They called me, and they were like, sir, we're so sorry this happened. We want to make sure every customer experience is a positive one. What could we do? What did you order that day? Please let me send you a complimentary this and that. It came in the mail.
This is Canadian service. McDonald's. I take it.
Yeah, this is Canadian McDonald's. This is McDonald's, Jeanette. This is straight up McDonald's.
No, you guys don't know.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease, they say. I say, write him a letter, a stern one, and say, this is what's happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, so complaining about this did kind of work. So middle of October, so the day before I went to Disneyland to upgrade to a key, because also you had to wait till the end of your trip to upgrade to a key because of the reservation system now. I didn't want to lose my Saturday reservation with my sister. Yeah. Anyway, people had complained enough that they did open up more reservations in November and December. And I was like, great, I'll be. And I looked, and that weekend I'm supposed to go with Sheena and Shelby was open. So I like upgraded at the end of the day. By the end of the day, all of the new reservations were completely gone.
Ay, ay, ay.
So this is like, it's really bad, I think. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, but probably nothing, because unless it comes around next year and everyone's just mad and they don't get a pass anymore.
Well, if I can say this just to wrap up, I would say make your voices be heard. Say something, tag something, do something. You do nothing, there is no change. You have to do something and be active, and let's track this and see what does happen, because it's just not fair. It's straight up not fair at all.
And if you're as upset as I am, just go to the Disneyland Magic Key Instagram and read the comments on every post that they post.
So great. Guys,
we are not alone in our anger, everybody.
So great. Oh, come and get this new popcorn bucket. Oh, it would be great if I could get into the freaking park with this $1,400 pass I just paid for, but I can't. Thanks a lot. Guess I'm not getting a popcorn bucket. There's about 1,000 of these messages. It's the best. Okay. We have a little bit more news and we have to carry on. So, final little piece of news. Patrons stuck on rides. This has been a thing lately. Over in Universal Studios Osaka on the Hollywood Dream Ride, it's a roller coaster and it's a dream of Hollywood, apparently. A fever dream, probably. Patrons were stuck on an inverted part of the ride for 2 hours, upside down, my private nightmare. Also, earlier this week, over at Disneyland, some people had to be evacuated from Pirates of the Caribbean. They pushed one group in a boat. They had to push them out of the queue for some reason. I don't know why. And then they forgot about them, and they had to call 911 to be rescued from Pirates of the Caribbean. Listen, Disney, stop forgetting people on rides, okay? Please remember they're there. That's a scary boat. There's pirates in there. You know what could happen.
That story specifically, it was like apparently they were broken down for an hour. Kids were peeing their pants. There was a girl who had an asthma attack. They finally started, and the music was playing the whole time, and that everybody was stuck, right? So then they evacuate most of the boats. For whatever reason, they pushed one boat back further into the ride and then forgot them. And they were there for a total of 3 hours.
So wait, what part of the ride was this forgotten?
This was in Disneyland. So they pushed them back to like part of the pirate scene, like the pirate skeleton scenes.
Oh, like before the vehicles come back for new people to load in, like they push them?
No,
before. Yeah, they pushed them backwards into the ride to like past the, you know, the ship battle and into the pirate skeleton scenes.
So,
and then
So before Tortuga, they pushed them back into spooky pirates. And then they were like, we cleared everybody, right? Yeah. We're good. And forgot people.
Yeah. Because apparently the ride was still broken down for that much longer. And they forgot them. They had to call 911. And apparently it was like freezing like 50 degrees in there. So like it feels nice when you're hot from outside for 5 minutes, but 3 hours in there with summer clothes on might have been awful. So,
oh my gosh, how did nobody, I mean, like, how did no cast member go through that part in 3 hours? That's crazy to me, especially.
Yeah. Or see them on the cameras they have everywhere, or
because it's scary. I don't want to go in there. Ooh. I don't want to go in there. It's scary. All right, friends. Well, hey, we do have to take a break, but stick with this idea of being stuck on an attraction, because we're going to keep that party rolling when we come back right here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. So stick around.
We Like Theme Parks podcast.
My favorite things. Hey,
we're talking about our favorite things. And when I mean favorite, I mean least favorite, because today we're talking about the worst rides you could get stuck on at Disney or Universal Studios. Following up on this poor group that was stuck on a boat for 3 hours, or these poor people who are in the Hollywood Dream upside down for 2 hours, what is your private nightmare? Which attraction are you getting stuck on that you would hate? Not love, because there's some of them you love. You're like, ooh, I'd love to get stuck here and walk the ride with the lights on. Ooh, I'm talking about being abandoned and stuck on a ride. Ooh. Okay. All right, Miriam, number three. What is your number three worst ride to get stuck on at Disney or Universal?
It's a Small World, simply because of the music. Like, I could not handle that for 3 hours. I like to go past the dolls, but like go past them. I don't want to be stuck near them.
You don't
want to
look into their soul, right?
not even a little bit. Especially the last scene of It's a Small World, the like white, where everyone's in white or whatever. Yeah. Like, what happened to these children? Are they, is this heaven? Like, where are they? What's happening?
Oh,
like, it just feels dark to me. If you look on the ceiling, it's at Disneyland and Disney World. There are like paper mache dolls instead of the like marionette dolls, and they are ghoulish, like terrifying to look at. So, yeah, don't want to be on Small World.
Yeah, no thanks. That sounds brutal. Yeah, I don't know. I like that song, so I feel like I'd be okay.
For 3 hours over and over again?
I mean,
I actually have dreams about that, and they're fine.
I'd be okay. I would also think I could lay down on that boat and fall asleep. I feel like I could.
Yeah. I have fallen asleep on Small World before. I will testify. It's a nice nap.
Yeah, right. And it's a big seat, right? So it's comfy. I'd be fine.
Yeah, you're crazy. No way.
All right, Matt, number three.
For me, I'm just going to get it out of the way, because like being stuck upside down to me is the worst thing. And the fact that it actually happened to people for 2 hours, I don't know how they lived or didn't die, both physically and of fright.
Yeah.
So for me, my answer is just any ride that goes upside down. I was thinking Rock and Roller Coaster, but also, I don't know the name of it, but that huge roller coaster in Universal. I've only been there once. Oh, that's like kind of by the outdoor amphitheater.
The Rip Ride Rocket.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's really high, and I could see people like going upside down.
Well,
and just,
and you lay flat on your back at one point, staring at the sky on that thing.
Yeah, the lift hill.
No, that's the one.
It's just flat on your back, straight up, and then it just stops, and you're there for 2 hours. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have the, you still have the control of the music? You could play different tunes. I don't know. That'd be okay.
What do you do that on that ride?
Yeah, on Rip Ride Rocket, you can pick the music. Yeah, you pick your song. So if I could,
Go ride it to the Crystal Method. What is it? Get Busy Child. That's a hoot.
If you got stuck at that part, like you really would have to like will yourself to just take a nap. I think.
My song of choice is Quick Start My Heart by Motley Crue. Gets my blood pumping when I'm on a coaster. All right. That sounds pretty scary. Jeanette, number three.
So the first one that came to my mind that I would not want to get stuck on, and I don't even ride it anymore because I don't even just like the positioning at all of where you're at, is Astro Orbiter.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like you're just being hung out to dry. You are like tilted sideways, hecka high up in the sky. So I'm not down with it.
I love that ride. I'm down for it. I can chill in there. I can probably fall asleep. I feel like you can fall asleep in a lot of places. So I'm okay with Astro Orbiter.
People Mover would be my view of Magic Kingdom falling asleep stuck on dream ride. Astro Orbiter, I feel like you're constantly being like threatened that you're going to be spilled out of the car. I'm like, I don't like a lot of the Tomorrowland thrill ride vehicles because it's a single seat and it's like tiny, like it's like down around your waist. And I'm a small person. So like I'm short, I'm 5'2", and it still feels very frighteningly low on either side of me. I'm like, I can't do this.
Jeanette, you've given me an amazing idea. I want to go on the People Mover, have it stop in front of Tron, and then I can ask people questions. I can ask the people building it. Excuse me. Are you almost done? Around when can you get me a glowing frisbee? Like, that would be the best. I could just yell for hours. How long could I stay there for? It would be the best. We should do that together. Jeanette, we should do that together. We should get into that and somehow cause it to stop. I don't know. Don't tell anybody. Let's keep this on the DL.
Oh my God. We were hoping it would stop last time. We had the camera. We're like, look over there. We're like zooming in on the camera to look and see what's going on in the construction site. Yeah.
Are you almost done?
All right. This is me. My number three scary would be Country Bears. Hear me out. I don't really love Country Bears. Well, it's an experience. What? You can get your own podcast. You got a problem? Country Bears, the music, I'm not a fan of it. It's kind of scary to me. If I was trapped inside and the Bears kept playing, listen, full disclosure, I've also played Five Nights at Freddy's, these bear animatronics coming alive to eat me, the music playing, and it's not good animatronics. It's old, like, bears. I'm like, that's the bear that kills me. That's the bear that kills me. This is the animatronic that's going to eat me. For sure, with this scary music, blood in the saddle. Forget it. I don't want to be in there. The heads on the walls just peering into my, again, my soul, being like, you will die in this room. Rawr. Just forget it.
Oh, they're sweet. We love them.
Nope.
Imagine if the music wasn't playing and you could just hear the hisses and clicks of like the hydraulics in the, you know, that's even worse.
They're both bad. Yeah, they both suck.
If you hear the clicking of everything.
Oh, click, click.
Who was it? Was it Nikki said that the animatronics in the Canada Pavilion?
Yeah, Nikki.
Yeah, that are sealed shut and hear, still running.
Click, 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 click. So in scary. A barrel above you. Click, click, click. What's that, mommy?
Nothing. That's the real terror.
It's a Canadian animatronic so ghost. Miriam, number two, what ride would you not want to be trapped on at Disney or Universal?
I've said it once. I will say it again. It would be like the middle of Jungle Cruise at night.
Oh, no, cool.
Absolutely not. I would flip out. No. Mm-mm-mm-mm. They do a really good job of making you feel like it's remote and in the middle of nowhere and scary at night. And I don't like it.
You could still operate the floodlight though and like look around and
it'd be kinda God, no. I don't want to know.
And they leave all the jungle sounds on. Oh my God, it's so cool. I would love that.
Scary. I would hate
it. It's not about getting stuck. The worst part would be evacuating from that spot in the middle of the night.
Well, remember,
in the dark.
They forget you out there. So.
Oh, that's true.
And you can't, hear your screams. Under
gators in Florida, it could be real ones.
Oh, they're definitely gators and like actual gators there. 100%.
Yeah,
100%. So terrifying.
I want it. I want any part of that.
But like cute little ones.
No,
they're
well,
not.
Well, that's the thing is that Disney World's 50 years old. There's time for there to be little ones, medium
and
ones,
big ones.
That's true.
Happy 50. Chomp.
50 years and at least 3 to 4 different generations of alligators.
Yeah.
Hey, right. They were there first. Disney is visiting their land.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree. That's why I don't want any part of being stuck in their territory.
All right, we're going to number two. This is Matt. Matt, what's the number two? Spooky, scary, don't want to get trapped to your ride.
Similar vibe, water themed. And I don't even think this would freak me out so much, but the idea kind of does. The Nemo ride slash if it was still 20,000 leagues under the sea in Disneyland, because you are actually underwater. It's not super deep, but the fact that you are in a vehicle that is submerged is a little stressful. Plus the fact, like, who knows? They don't know you're there. Who's to say that the structural integrity of these subs that have been around for like longer than all of us, who's to say the water's not going to start just slowly creeping in?
Oh my God.
But wait a tick.
That ride makes me so claustrophobic. I hate it so much. I didn't even put it on my list because I refuse to even look at it. Oh my God, Matt, that is terrifying to be stuck on that ride. The last time I rode it, like just regular ride, it was full, right? Every seat was taken.
Yeah,
we're like this close to the glass. I'm like starting to freak out and I just whisper to my friend because it's dead silent in there because it's so small. I think everyone feels like they have to be quiet. I just whispered to my friend, I'm like, I'm freaking out right now. I might just start screaming at full volume. Like, the scream is right here, just so you know. Like, I'm not well. And she's like, don't do that. Everyone will think it's on fire or something. Like, no.
Okay, Jeanette, number two. What's your spooky scary? Don't get trapped on this one.
One of the parts that still really thrills me on a ride that I've gone on a lot is on Forbidden Journey, when you're like tilted mostly backwards. And I don't remember if it's the spiders or the Dementors, but it doesn't matter either one of those scenes. If you were trapped, specifically tilted backwards, because they put you almost completely upside down, it's a practical effect. So there's like an actual thing flying at your face, and it's like one of the only things, like the only jump scare type things that really freaks me out on a ride.
I love that ride. Never mind.
Even Dementor coming flying at you over and over again for 3 hours.
That. It took my picture. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
For 3 hours, you would like that?
Yeah, but if you would know when it was coming after 3 hours, you'd be like, one, two,
And you get a free
still just the backwards. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say on the Kiku arm or whatever it is, that thing.
Kuka.
Oh my
Kuka.
God.
Yeah.
Kuka. That's it. Kiku Kuka.
I would straight up fall asleep. All right. I'd be fine. If you had laid me back, Dementors, every 3 seconds, I'd be like,
The strobe light, like, no.
Oh, so bright doesn't matter. Okay, is it me now? Number two?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, my number two. Okay, picture this. You're on Kilimanjaro Safaris. The power goes out. It's nighttime.
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Na, 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 na. The tigers. And the driver's like, I don't know if the electronics fancy things are working, friends. I'm going to try to back this car up. Out of gas. Oh my goodness. Nightmare Safari. That's my like worst, second worst.
Joe Rohde can't save you now.
I want to swing off your earlobes, Joe. Save me. Get me out of here. Animals on the loose, hunting. Now you become the prey. Ooh. This is a great idea for a horror attraction if they ever do like a Halloween Horror Nights at Animal Kingdom.
No, then you become part of the great
animals attack
of life.
Humans.
Well, they make animatronics that try to eat you and stuff.
Oh, I see. Cool.
Anyway, all right. Okay, yeah, number one. We're going to the top of the list. This is the number one attraction that you would hate to be stranded or stuck on at Disney Universal. Miriam, lead us off.
Now, I think everybody would want to be stuck on this attraction because of the idea of getting to walk the track once they find you.
Yeah.
But again, in this scenario, they aren't finding you for 3 hours and maybe they've gotten the ride up and running then and you don't get to walk the track, right? So for me, it's Haunted Mansion, but specifically in the attic room with the bride. No, never. I would lose it. That room freaks me out. Like, even just being stuck there for a minute or two, I'm like, I need to get out of here. Like, it is truly haunted in there.
It's like
I can't.
My favorite room. It's like the most, there's so much narrative going on in that room. It's so,
it is so scary. Like, all the creepy presence and things in there, and then here comes the bride. Like, I'm out. I hate it. I can't. And again, you're not getting to walk the track in this scenario and see all the cool things in there up close. You're just stuck in there with her menacing voice and nothing else.
I think it would only freak me out if that projection on the bride started to like go off script and talk to me personally.
Oh, no.
She was like,
happen. I believe it. She's really haunted.
Well, hello, Miriam.
Oh, there's like dolls in there too. Again with the dolls, like I'm out.
How come I haven't been on Teacup for one, Matthew?
See, I have this Chucky sequel that I want to pitch to whoever owns the rights, where Chucky gets loose in It's a Small World and like hides out undercover as one of those dolls and then just changes costumes for all the countries.
He gets possessed by a Mary Blair doll instead of a good guy.
No.
Like he's the normal Chucky we all know and fear, but he's just in this attraction of like hundreds of singing dolls and like no one can find him. That's
you
the horror
just
movie
wanna
that I
see
like to
Chucky.
Pitch.
You just want to see Chucky in Lederhosen in a can dress.
No, you so. Just want a Chucky. You want a Chucky Disney mashup is what you want. That's all.
Obviously.
All right, Matt, number one, what's your spookiest spookies?
Okay. It doesn't exist anymore, but extra terror, estrial alien encounter, specifically when the restraints are down and that's the thing that malfunctions. So you're physically not able to go anywhere for those 3 hours in the dark. Alien may or may not be malfunctioning and occasionally like breaking the glass, or I didn't ride it. I was too scared. I don't know what happened, but main thing is you're in the dark. You can't move. And then the ride mechanics are flailing and every once in a while you get an alien.
I think it's the blood. Every now and then you get the blood drip.
Did that happen?
Oh God. Well, you haven't been on this ride? Yeah, obviously it was water, but
still. I was like 10 when it was there.
It was
so was I, and I loved it, Matt. Fuck up.
Fuck up, buddy. Yeah, like they even had a moment where, okay, first the animal would, and corroborate this story, Jeanette, the animal would jump on your shoulders and you'd feel the pressure of your shoulders. Like he was, And then you'd get the hot air on the back of your neck and you'd breathe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nope.
And you'd be like,
some drippies, some spray.
A little spray.
He would bite somebody. And, oh no, when he exploded. No, his like alien goo would spray on your face.
He also ate a scientist. Like there's gunshots up in the like the grid up top. And then the monster goes up there and then blood on you and you drip on you. Gosh. It's messed up. It was so cool.
All of it, none of it was any worse than the corn dog breath from Stitch in the rewriting of that ride. That stuff was noxious and it was obscene.
Yeah.
And if that happened for 3 hours straight, I would cry.
Is that your number one, Jeanette?
Is that your number
one? No, that's not my number one. It should be though.
Okay, what is it?
My number one is one that is all too real and happens, I don't want to say often, that's not fair, but it's pretty real. And that's the Skyliner. Nobody wants to poop in a bag. Nobody wants to pee in front of their family.
Like, you get to zip line off of it.
Yeah, like you don't.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. A giant ladder truck. No.
Nobody wants to dangle over a gas station or over cars on the road. No.
Yeah, like, and when it stops for even just a minute, you're like, what if it's this time?
I'm fine, but I know that not everybody is fine.
I mean, here would be my reaction. Guys, we're getting comps. Guys,
we're
getting comps. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Please poop in a bag. Please poop in a bag. We're getting comps. Where do you guys want to eat? We're going to get free food too. Where do you want to eat? Let's figure this out. Yeah. Let's make our demand, a list of demands now. Pass the time. Nobody's panicking. We're like, I'd like a shirt. Great. Let me add that down. Okay, great. Yeah. Do you want one of those popcorn buckets? You know, the 50th, the one that's out? I'm sure they have them in the back, right? Yeah, yeah. Write it down. Write it down.
Starbucks tumblers thrilled. For everyone.
Yeah. Tumbler, four tumblers. Thank you. I would be over the moon stuck. I mean, hopefully I didn't have park tickets that day, but you know what I'm saying? It can get pretty nasty up there.
And it's really nice when the air is moving through those, but when it's just like standing still like that.
Yeah. It's not so nice. Okay. I'm going to wrap this bad boy up with my number one, not as creative as the bag poop, but here it is. It is, I would hate, and this is me personally, because I'm a husky fella, and I know if I want to go on the Velocicoaster, that they're going to have to stuff me in there. You know what I mean? Where I have to sit up a little bit, and they have to go, ready? Okay, we'll do this together. One, two, click. Okay, right? So I'm like, they can beat a little bit. Let's go. Yeah, let's, come on, Raptors. Let's do this. And then they fire me up, and I'm doing the ride, and I'm like, hey, this is great. And then it goes up that top hat, and stops at the top of the top hat.
Nope.
So, me at the top of the top hat, breathing partially, stuck in this chair with my chunky butt, and I'm just sweating. The heat is just right on my face. It's a hot day. I'm sweating. I'm stuck. I can't breathe. I'm up a zillion feet in the air. I'm looking down. I'm terrified. I feel sorry for whoever's sitting with me going, are you okay? Are you okay? I have to say, are you okay so many times. That is my private nightmare. I would probably die at the top of the Velocicoaster. So if that happens, guys, you can have all the toys I'm putting on my new shelf that I'm getting really excited about. I bequeath it to the three of you. Enjoy. Pump for the Velocicoaster. All right, friends. Well, hey, got to ask you guys at home, what ride or attraction would you not want to get stuck on? What is your nightmare fuel for being stuck on an attraction? Let us know. What's up at welikethemeparks.com. That's the spot. Okay, let's wrap this bad boy up. Thanks so much for tuning in, amigos. Did you have a good time? Matt, did you have a good time?
Always.
Jeanette,
the best.
Jeanette, good times?
D.
That's the reaction. What'd you say, that's D?
What?
What did you say? D. I was waiting for M. C. Like what?
No, C, like yes.
Oh, C. Oh, I just heard like
C.
D. He's like, yes. Did you have a good time today? R. And Miriam had a good time. She got that big, beautiful smile on her face. I see it. Why don't you? You had a good time, so you should do the things. What are the things? Rate, review,
subscribe,
buy a shirt, send me a Christmas present. Those are the things. Do all those things. It's going to be great. You're going to feel good about it. Trust me.
Maybe tell a friend.
Oh, tell a friend. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. I appreciate that. You can always find us goofing around on Instagram at We Like Theme Parks, and we're on the Magic of the Mouse Radio Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5, noon on Sundays. Oh, yeah. So check that out. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast, composed and provided by Mike Troublecock. Hey, Miriam, where can we find that guy?
MikeTroublecockMusic.com.
Oh, thank you so much. A big old thank you to our two guests today doing double duty. Matt Yipchuk from YouTube's Teacup for One. Where can everybody find you? Very quickly, Matt. Very quickly. Tell us what's going on. Quickly. Here we go. Can you do it?
You can find me on YouTube at Teacup for One, where there's a bunch of videos, and I don't know what they are yet. And Instagram at Yipchuck, Yipchuck. Go look at the Funko picture.
Get there. Check out the pics. There's great ones. Good job, Matt. You plows away. You know what? You get
it. I did it.
You did it. I didn't think you could. I was like, here we go. Opening Pandora's box. Matt Yipchuck with a very short description of what he's got going on. Thank you. Here, watch how it's done. Jeanette, what do you got going on? Where can we find you?
Now, you know I have a lot to promote, Chris. you can find me over on Instagram at TinkerJ787, and it's just pretty much most recently me being on here. So, you know.
Amazing, amazing. For Miriam, for Jeanette, for Matthew, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And...
We like theme parks.
And we also like Mark Andrada, who's not here.
Yeah, Mark.
We like Mark Andrada.
Bye.